In our Sunday morning studies, at this time, 11 o'clock, we have been going through the book of Acts. Tremendously interesting story it has been, and although we're getting near the end of it, we do rejoice in what we've learned. Now, much of it contains the travels and preaching missions of a man named Paul. In chapter 9, he became a Christian. Formerly, he had taken Christians prisoner and even was present at some of the even executions, like Stephen, for instance. And in the chapter that we're going to be looking at, chapter 24, Paul is before some of the Roman leaders and some of the Jewish leaders as well. And he's imprisoned. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that his time was very difficult, many places, and he could read that, and it's a tremendously sad story that this man, dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and serving the Lord very, very vigorously, he has three trips described in the book of Acts. And we come to the time that he was on his last trip to Jerusalem. And to pick up the context, I want you to read with me in Acts 23, the last three verses. The passage we're going to study is page 1736 in the Pew Bibles, the Brown Bibles. So this will introduce us to that chapter. Chapter 23, verse 22. So the chief captain then let the young man depart. Charged him, "See, thou tell no man that thou show me these things." He called on him to centurion, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200, at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts, that they may set Paul on. And bring him safe unto Felix, the governor." Now, our chapter 24, we have by now the Apostle Paul in Caesarea. Read from verse 1. "And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. When he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, 'See, thou by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. We accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. We have found this man," that's Paul, "a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who hath also gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to our law. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examination of whom thyself may take a knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." Now in this chapter we have a number of people, and 4 or 5 or even 6, but we're going to think mainly of 3. We have facts and Felix. We have a lawyer named Tertullus. We have Paul. And then towards the end of the chapter, we again consider Felix and his confrontation with Paul. But let's think a little about Felix. He was the governor, and of course, he had his responsibility to the capital in Rome. And we're told that this man was very wicked and cruel and greedy. Money was the big thing. And he was married 3 times. And notice that in verse 2, Tertullus, as a lawyer, speaks on behalf of the Jews, and he says this: Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, and there are 3 accusations that he brings, and they're false accusations. We have found this man, verse 5, a pestilent fellow. Number 2, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And a 3rd, who also had gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. So there are 3 charges, all of them concocted, changed, and enlarged upon, and presented it as truth. And then the 2nd one we want to consider is Paul in verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things which they now accuse me. But this I sent unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. So this is what Paul says, that they call heresy about the way. I want you to think a moment what he means by the way. We find this first in Acts chapter 9, and it's a name that the Christians called the developing church, the way. And then in chapter 11, there's another name. It says the Christians, the disciples, were first called Christians, first in Antioch. And this name became the sort of the main descriptive title for the Christian church. Christian. Christ, I-A-N. And that's nice. Christ, I-A-N. All right. And verse 14 again, he says, Paul says, believing all things were written in the law and the prophets. So Paul was not only a student of the Old Testament, but he believed all that was spoken. He believed that, and he wrote this to Timothy later, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly perfect unto every good work. So, Paul believed in the Bible, verbally. Verse 15, and of hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, seeing that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Paul believed and taught in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and consequently the resurrection of the people of the way, the Christian people. And resurrection of the dead, both the saved, the just, and the unjust. And here he's outlining the resurrection of the just and then the unjust. So, like we find in Revelation and elsewhere, two resurrections, the resurrection of the believers and the resurrection of the non-believers. And it says in Revelation of them, they shall stand before the great judge of the universe. It says the book shall be opened, another book is opened, it is the book of life. Who is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Paul believed and taught that. We believe and teach that. Resurrection of the believers. And then over 1,000 years later, resurrection of those who died without Christ. So it's certainly urgently brought to bear upon us that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we'll see more of that later on. Verse 16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always been conscious, void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple. He had the right to go into the temple and worship. And he did that, but he did not take Gentiles. Now, he had some Gentiles in his party, in his group, but he didn't take them into the restricted area. But he was accused of that falsely. Verse 18, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before you and object if they had anything against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead. And you can read of that earlier in the book. So again, Paul maintains his belief and his teaching of the resurrection. And it becomes the center doctrine, of course, of the Christian church, that Jesus is alive, risen, ascended to heaven, and coming again. We believe that. I believe that. Look forward to the day that he does come for us. Now, verse 22, and when Felix, he comes before us now again, when Felix heard these words, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, then I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come to him. So, what we find about Felix here, he's a procrastinator. Put it off, put it off. Until I get someone to bribe me. That's stated in verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him. He was greedy for money, and he was willing to hold this man, lie about him, anything to persuade him to give him a bribe. Now, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla. Now, she's an interesting character. She was evil. She was wicked. She was also grasping for money. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa I, and the youngest daughter. She was married and apparently engaged to another person. She broke that up that she might marry this man who, like her, was those things, wicked and lusting for money. But now, in verse 25, that's Paul. Well, let's back up a little bit. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So in all this turmoil, false accusations and condemnations, verse 4, he says this man heard him preaching the faith in Christ, the resurrection of faith in Christ. And so we find the very fundamentals of the Christian church in what Paul said in the presence of this ruler, this governor. And it says this, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. The truth just gripped him, gripped his heart, gripped his soul. And yet he didn't respond. He still had the hope that, that's what it says there, he had the hope that he'd receive a bribe from Paul. And Paul preached about righteousness, temperance, self-control, and judgment to come. And that's enough to make any unsaved person who hears it or reads about it tremble. And if you're not a Christian, it should make you tremble too. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Put it off, put it off. But he had no intention of responding to it, unless he only for that money. He hoped also, verse 26, that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him, whereof he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. And after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. 2 years. So he heard the message from the lips of Paul, and it was very plain. He reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. He trembled, but he turned his back on it, and there's no indication that he ever repented or trusted Christ. But I want to impress us again just what the message is that Paul had. In verse 24, he preached the faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded that it is in Christ salvation can be found, and only in Christ. Peter preached in chapter, as recorded in chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men that they must be saved. And Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. The only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a brother. He was 6 years younger than me. And I went out to see him when he was dying with cancer. And he said one night, Chester, I want to tell you my story. When you became a Christian, I wanted to follow you as you followed the Lord, but I didn't. I turned my back on it. He went up to the PAW, worked there, later on in Saskatoon or Edmonton. And in his story, he said, I took up smoking and drinking. I became a drunkard, an alcoholic. And then he lost his son in suicide, a Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman. And he said, that made me think. And he said, I started going to any gospel music, gospel preaching that I could. And one night, he says, I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, by this time he knew he had cancer. And he knew that he was dying. Lord, I can't do anything for my life. I give it over to you. And he said to me, I had the Lord in my heart. He said, no, I'm not afraid to die. And I was so happy to hear that he had trusted Christ in the closing days of his life. Not long after that, I received word that he had died. And he left word, would Chester come and preach my funeral, which I did. And I preached from Romans chapter 5 and 6, where Paul, writing, tells us again that it's in Christ that there's salvation. So, there are some of these people that Paul confronted and brought to the Lord the message. I want us to close with hymn number 350. the Father, and for the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came from heaven, that he went to the cross, and there died for us, for our sake, for us, on account of our sins, and that we can have this blessed assurance that we belong to him. We pray for everyone here in this gathering. We ask that each and every one will know Christ as their personal Savior, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.